be good to see everyone up this evening. Thankful as always for the prayers on my behalf, that I would do well up here and present God's Word in all its truth, as always we as we get up here and speak. And so, if anything incorrect, obviously, you always bring those things to my attention. I'm going to speak about some things we can learn from Noah. I brought a few lessons on Noah in the past, but he's such a great subject, and I think so many things we can learn from him. So hopefully I've got some new thoughts, different takes on some things we can learn from Noah this evening. We read about Noah. It's in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. Because of the wickedness and evil that was in the world, God determined he was going to destroy the world by a flood. But Noah was someone who had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We learn that from verse 8 of chapter 6. And he warned Noah that in 120 years, as we had from our scripture reading, that how long he was going to be with them at that time, that the world would be destroyed. And he also instructed him to build this ark. He obeyed God, and as the floods came, he and his wife and his three sons and their wives went into the ark, and they were saved in the ark. And we read that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and that Noah stayed in the ark for a little over a year, if you do the calculations for how he was there, for a little over a year. And as the waters receded and the earth was replenished with the things that needed to happen during this time. And after leaving the ark, Noah sacrifices to God. And then the population, of course, of the earth begins to begin again. So this is a brief summary of the life of Noah. And I'm going to consider five things, five lessons to be learned from his life. And the first thing we're going to look at, we're going to look at his salvation, Noah's salvation. We're going to look at his how he followed God's instructions and to the depth that he did that. We're going to look at how he preached righteousness while he was here on the earth and he was building the ark. We're going to look at how he had great patience as he waited for these things to happen. And we're also going to look at how he worshiped God as well. So hopefully some things we can make application to our own lives. The first thing we're going to look at, you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, is just the fact that Noah was saved. Noah and his family was saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We're told here that because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're told here he was saved. Him and his family, they were saved also through water. But what about grace? We won't turn there, but Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So when it comes to salvation, as we often preach here, grace is God's part. That's what he does. He does what we cannot. Ultimately, the reason that Noah was saved was because of God's love, God's grace that God had toward him. God had grace on him, and God warned him about the flood, and he also gave him some instructions to do, and these are all based on why God did those things, because of the grace that he had. Another part of Noah's salvation was his faith that he had in these things. He believed God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 tells us that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So Noah's salvation would not have come had he ignored the warnings and these instructions that God gave according to his faith. He must act. He believed and he acted upon that faith, on the faith that he had in God's Word. But what about obedience? Again, from Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says that he prepared an ark. So Noah obeyed God. He acted upon his faith. He was not spared until he had acted upon that faith. He had to do those things which God had said. And until he complied with God's instructions fully, it would have done him no good. His faith must have been an acting faith, a working faith. And if you examine the account, you'll find that he complied with every command that God given him in all he had. At least four times. Turn back over to Genesis chapter 6 and let's find out what Noah did in these things here. Again, God had grace. Noah had the faith. and he has the obedience. Chapter 6 and verse 22. We're told here that Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Drop down to chapter 7 and verse 5. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Verse 9. Two and two, male and female, went to the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And then verse 16. And those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So here we see that everything that God told him, Noah did these things. So he had the faith to do them, he had the work in faith, he had the obedience to do those things. But in the big picture, if you think about it, this is the same way that we're saved. These things we've noted. God's grace has to be involved. Our faith has to be involved in our obedience. Let's turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 3, the first verse that we read. In light of these things, again, God's grace, our faith, and our obedience. Begin at verse 20 of 1 Peter 3. Again, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's Noah's salvation, and it corresponds to how we do things today as well. And the second thing I want to look at was that Noah followed God's instructions. When you read the account of the Lord, how he gave specific details, all through the Old Testament, all the details that he gives exact details and things that he wanted Noah to do and others to do. He told him what type of wood to use, told him to use gopher wood. He told him the size of the ark, which was 450 feet by 75 feet and 45 feet by our terms. Of course, they used a cubit, which is about 18 inches. He told him it was to have 3 decks. It was to be covered with pitch or tar. It has to have 1 door. It has to have 1 window and so forth. Turn to Genesis chapter 6 again. We'll read the account of this. Again, the details that are given. Begin at verse 14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. And of course, he goes on to tell him he's going to bring this flood. But you see the directions that he gave Noah in these things. He was given instructions also for the ark. He was told to bring in certain animals, 2 of each kind. He was told to bring in food for himself and also for the animals. So he was given even more specific directions. Noah went in when God told him, and he came out when God told him. Further directions as well. And in all this, as we've already pointed out, we read, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, and so he did. We learn from Noah also the need to follow God's instructions exactly. Many today in religion, they want to trivialize the details. And those are the things that are important, the commands, but especially the details. But as we study God's words, we have in the past, especially all the examples that we have, we've studied in the past laws and directions given to Moses, given the children of Israel in the building of the temples and so forth like that, and all the very intricate details that were given. They had to follow those things exactly. Noah was also given those things. Why are we told these things? These are all in the Old Testament. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. And verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. So we have these things recorded. Not only that they recorded the facts of what they were given, but we're also given the example of how they followed those things, and they followed them exactly as God instructed. And it wasn't until they did those things fully that they were compliant and that God was happy with them and how they acted. When God specifies how to do something, again, we must respect His instructions. And that's why it matters how we worship God. It matters how we are saved and the work of the church and so forth that we've been studying. So that's the second thing I'm going to go through, examples from Noah. And the third one is that Noah preached righteousness. If you'll turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's see, I know it's described here in verse 5. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, or a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we're told here, he describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. These 120 years that he was given. Noah built this ark, and he also warned the people, he preached to people about this danger that was coming, this coming destruction. And of course, the people didn't listen. We're told it was just him and his wife and his sons and their wives as well. But what is it to preach righteousness? What does that mean? The word actually means to do what God requires. It means to do what is right. In addition to this, we know that God is righteous in all he does. That's our standard. He does what is right. And he has provided the way for our salvation so we can have a hope, although we're sinners. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Righteousness is not in ourselves. Again, we look to God for those things, but he is righteous. Romans chapter 3, we'll begin at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So again, the mention of righteousness there several times and being equated things that come from God, not of ourselves. In addition to that, God has also warned us, just as he warned Noah and people of his time. He's warned us over and over many times. We have the example of the flood, as we just read about, how they was warned about this flood. But we also have many other passages. Romans chapter 2. Begin at verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Then over to 1 Peter again, chapter 2. Verse 23. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So we see who he had turned to in these times. We also find out from Noah, who preached righteousness, that we also need to be preachers of righteousness. Now, not everyone can speak publicly. It's a difficult thing. It's nervousness as well when you do those things. But we all can teach. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We're told here, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for your reason for the hope that is in you. So we all need to know what we believe and why we believe those things. But know it to the point to where we can explain it to others when they question us about why we do the things we do. But we can find those answers for them so we can teach them in return. But we should be ready to be given an account of those things that we believe. We need to preach the gospel, Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. Told here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So we're told here that this word of God reveals God's righteousness to us. Again, it's not in us. We only know those things that we're told from his word. In looking at Noah and how he preached righteousness, we also need to warn the lost, those who are in danger of losing their souls. Just as in the days of Noah, there's another day coming. It's a day of judgment when the world will be destroyed again. Turn back over to 2 Peter. chapter 3 again. Again, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will all be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the day of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. So just as the flood was to them, meant their end of their lives, that would be the end of time, and the end of people who are still living nowadays. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. In the book of Jude. Verses 22 and 23. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So we're given a warning here of how we are to warn others about this coming day and the ramifications that come from that. So we talked about Noah's salvation. We've talked about how Noah followed God's instructions. And we've talked about how Noah was a preacher of righteousness and those things we need to follow with that. But we also need to look at Noah's patience he had. Noah had a lot of patience as he waited for God's instructions. Mentioned from the scripture reading, for 120 years he preached and he warned as he built this ark. Now, think about how old you are. I'm 41 years old, not near 120. How long the time period is through your life so far. But if you make it to 120, how long that is that you're building this ark and you're preaching and so forth. And having to warn others. People are probably scoffing at the same time. But we don't know how much that God interacted with Noah during that time. We know him, gave him instructions. But did he talk to him daily? We don't know. Did he kind of give him instructions and let him do his thing as he was building the ark and so forth? So we don't know how much instruction that he gave Noah during those time periods. There may have been a time period where he was by himself doing his own thing, building those things without any words from God. We don't know. But we do know that he preached during that time. And he didn't quit. He kept on going, obviously, because he did end up building the ark. During that time, he kept on working as he built. He knew this destruction was coming to other people around him. But he didn't sit around and do nothing during this time. He was busy. And we too must learn patience as we wait on God. The delay of God often causes some to doubt, even some Christians, to become discouraged. And that's exactly what Peter taught us. If you turn over to 2 Peter again, chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooking this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, because you all should reach repentance. This talks about, in these verses here, about the time when scoffers will come and wonder what's taking so long, where is this God that you speak of, and so forth. Peter in here reminds us as well about Noah and the flood. And he also tells us that God doesn't reckon time as we do. God's eternal. And so even this 120 years that Noah was there, that's nothing to God. Our lives are nothing in this time span of God because he's eternal. And we're also reminded in verse 9 when he says that he's long-suffering and he's not willing that any should perish. And so God has this love for us, this grace toward us to give us time to do the things we need to do to make sure we're right. But don't confuse this delay with indifference, because we know for a fact that God's not a liar, and he will come, and the day will come as appointed. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Begin at verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. We know that Jesus rose from the dead, so we know this day is going to come. That happened, and so will that day as well. Over to Hebrews chapter 10. Begin at verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So a warning this day, again, this day is going to come, and not to cast off our confidence, but to keep on going. To endure and all those things. So we need to continue to wait as we pray, as we wait for his answers. We know God answers prayers. We often say that he answers in his time. He may not always ask or answer those things when we ask or how we want him to, but God is sure to do those things. We must have faith when we ask. Turn to James chapter 1. Begin at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. It will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So make sure that we have faith in those things that we ask, because we know that God is just and his will always be done. And it will be the best for us. But again, his answers come in his time. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Verse 7. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay any longer over them? So we're assurance that God will answer. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So admonition here to keep on praying, keep on doing those things. God is true, and God is loving toward us. But as we wait and we do these things, don't think that you have all the time in the world. Hebrews chapter 9. A lot of time gets behind us. We won't live forever. Verse 27 of chapter 9. We're told here a truth, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So as we know, death comes to us all in those things. And not waste our time as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The time that we have here, make sure that we're doing what we need to do. Verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Also a promise here that our labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So we have that promise as well. The other thing, if you turn back over to Genesis chapter 8, is to keep looking at this patience that Noah had. Chapter 8 of Genesis and verse 6. We'll read on past verse 6 a little bit. Let's start with verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made. So here he is waiting. And he sent forth a raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot. And she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. And then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. So again, the example, even though these are 7 days upon 7 days, how long had he been in the ark? How long had he been building the ark and so forth? So Noah had great patience in those things. He continued there. And he would open the window and see it was not ready yet. So he would wait a little longer. And he'd open it again, and he'd wait a little longer. But Noah had great patience, so we need to learn from him. The last thing we'll look at tonight is that Noah worshipped God. After the flood, when Noah and his family were told that they could leave the ark again, they only did those things when God told them they could do those things. One of the first things that he did was that he worshipped God. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. So here this records that Noah came out of the ark and he built an altar and he sacrificed to God. He worshipped God. And it was this soothing aroma that caused God to vow he was never going to destroy it like this again. Noah's worship was a demonstration of his gratitude. He had a lot of gratitude, a lot of thankfulness that he had toward God and his mercy. And it was a demonstration of his reverence that he had to him. And also he had acknowledgement of God's rule. God had all the authority. And Noah, through doing this worship, this altar, acknowledged all these things. It also demonstrated that Noah had a lot of humility and recognized that God was the one that did those things. One of the ways we do that is by the way that we worship God as well. Turn over to John chapter 4, verse 24. And the question is, how do we demonstrate our gratitude? How do we demonstrate our humility and our reverence toward God? Verse 24, we're told, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Notice that we must do those things. It's not an option. Those things, we must worship him in these ways. Again, we worship in spirit and truth. We worship him as he commands us to do with our hearts. We do these things in gratitude. We call on him out of a pure heart. Turn over to 2 Timothy. In chapter 2. Verse 22. We're told here, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So we must have a pure heart in those. James chapter 5. Verse 16. We're told here, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And we're told here that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So another good promise that we have there. We sing with grace and make a melody in our hearts. We won't turn there, but that's Colossians 3, verse 16. We offer to him the sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Acknowledging his name, his authority, and God and all he does. And then lastly, we serve him and we reverence with godly fear. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful by receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. We're told here, for our God is a consuming fire, and a warning lamp. So some good points, I think, to, again, learn from Noah. The story of Noah has many things we can learn from. The example he set before us, the patience he had especially. So with that, we'll offer the invitation. If there's anyone here this evening who needs to obey the gospel, believing the things they heard, by full repentance, turning from their sins, the things they've been doing, confessing that he's Lord, he's the Son of God, and being baptized in water for those things. Or if you've done those things and you've gone back into the world and need to make changes, you now have opportunities. We stand and sing.